Come your Bible with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Just for passing. Let me read a scripture to us quickly, Isaiah 53. Then we'll pray with you and we'll be gone. Hallelujah. Turn your Bible quickly. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Lord, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Jump to verse 10 quickly. No, verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked. But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Just for 5 minutes. Sorry, let me bother you with the Bible. Hallelujah. Now, it is a spiritual equation had to be solved, had to be set. The realm of the spirit. Spiritual equation. You must. I've understood that the devil is a legalistic spirit. He knows his right. And every ounce of his right, he's going to claim it and stand by it. Hallelujah. Now, if you watch Passion of the Christ, the thing makes us believe that the Roman soldiers were beating Jesus. And that is what you read in the gospel. That Jesus was tied to the stake and they used the Roman scourge to afflict him. But according to Isaiah chapter 53, what happened was much more grievous than what the gospel recorded and what was revealed in the past. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says just 2 verses. It says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Now, have you ever seen a man that suffered so much that he became used to suffering? Somebody that suffered, and because of his perpetual suffering, he took upon himself a mold, a form that was so yielded to suffering. And that's what the Bible means when the Bible says he was acquainted with grief. He was so used to suffering. Have there ever been a situation that you could not change and you had to accept? This was what came upon him. It was something that he had to accept. He had to keep up with. It was. He became acquainted with peace. Acquainted with pain. The prophet began to tell us the reason why he had to suffer to the degree to which he suffered. But we did not actually understand the extent of the suffering until we looked upon verse 10. And the Bible says that God was the one that bruised him. He didn't say Roman soldier bruised him. Even though the Roman soldiers bruised him. But you see, what the Roman soldiers did was not sufficient to actually satisfy the claims of divine justice. Now, see, in the realm of the spirit, everything has a distinct price. You must understand. And that's why when you go to consult the heavens, he tells you the kind of sacrifice that is befitting for the demand you are making, so that the sacrifice will add vocabulary to your petition. There is nothing in the realm of the spirit that happens by chance. There are demands for everything required. And according to the scriptures, it means that what the Roman soldiers did was not sufficient to sack. There was something still lacking to fulfill the gap, the requirement that would satisfy the claims of divine justice. And so there was something that we could not see through the pages of the gospel. It took somebody with prophetic insight to give us the extent of the situation. And that's why I make bold to say that passion, as good as it was, so graphic and illustrative, it is a holy song to give us the true portrait of what he went through. God himself had to do. Now somebody asked, and said, why is this so? You see, Jesus was supposed to be the fulfillment of every claim, every demand of the law. Not so. He was also to right every wrong that has taken place in the past. And one of the wrongs that he had to fulfill was the wrong of Moses. You see, the way the scriptures and the revelations of God is structured is such that God cannot do anything in the New Testament that he has not illustrated in the Old. Alright? So that there will be a witness in the Old Testament and the trend and the pattern will be active. Okay? And the man that stood in the shadow of the Messianic anointing was Moses. That's why the Bible says Moses was speaking and he said that God will raise a prophet unto me. He was speaking about Jesus. There was no other person that had that claim in the Old Testament, that God will raise a prophet like unto me. Only Moses made that claim. He said, him. Him is. Hallelujah. So Moses was in the shadow of the Messianic anointing. And everything that Moses did was something that was illustrative of what the true Messiah. But there was a point in the vision of Moses that Moses missed the prophetic mark. God instructed Moses to hit the rock once. And what did Moses do? He hit the rock two times. And the Bible reveals to us in the New Testament that that rock was Christ. And by reason of Moses' error, Christ will have to go a second dose. The first dose was the affliction that came upon him by men, but there had to be somebody else, another dose from another dimension, that we have to make up for Moses' error. So after that, the Roman soldiers had afflicted him, the Bible said he pleased the Lord to what? To bruise him. What did you see? He pleased the Lord. To what? To bruise.
Because after that, the Roman soldiers did the best they could do. And you must understand that that thing that the Roman soldiers were doing was a competition. You don't understand it? Their own Olympics started anytime there was a soldier, a criminal that was to be crucified. Olympic Games started for them. The two best guys with a whip will be brought from outside posting. The one that they posted to another region, they will invite him in the night. That an opportunity has come again to. So that thing they were doing was a sport. Who could? That thing was a sport. So they were not just flogging him, they were doing Olympics. Hallelujah. And after the first strike, it was not yet sufficient. There had to be another strike. And that strike was something that none of the gospels could record. It was only the gospel. And there had to be another strike to fulfill the error of Moses. Yes, it is the Lord to bruise him and to put him to peace. No king can do that. I hope you know, bruise is a verb, is active, is a doing word. Just in case you think you say that maybe that one meant when he was on the cross that God was separated from him, that he cried. No, bruise is active. A verb is a doing word, or what? And what? An action word. It doesn't exist in imagination. It pleased the Lord to do. So that the claims of divine justice. And then what was the resultant effect of that action? Please read with me as we pray finally together. And ask God to do some things that only Him can do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yet they please the Lord to bruise. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his sin. Now, after that, Jesus had taken the second dose of the whip. The Bible says that at that point, God will see his seed and it shall be what? Satisfied. And the purpose of the Lord shall prosper where? In his hand. It means that after the claims of divine justice was satisfied, such that God himself looked upon his seed and he knew that there was no accusation left in the realm of the spirit. Those things are not emotional. They are concrete and strong words revealing the extent to which we were delivered that we did. The son is satisfied because no more accusation. At that point, he said, the work of God shall prosper. He shall see you see, and it shall be satisfied. All the claims and all the accusations in the name of the Spirit have been satisfied. There are the work of God is under compulsion to prosper. The intention that God had in his heart of eternity by reason of the fact that all the accusations have been satisfied, that work can now prosper. I hope you know there's no if and but there. It's a statement of fact. The account of the extent of the debt. So it doesn't matter whether you are a son of the heavens. The Bible says, shall see his seed, and it shall be what? And if there's a yoke hanging on your life, a limitation that you know about in this place, you have the right to cast it off.
Because the work of God, by vision of the extent of what was paid, has been ordained to prosper in this.
He shall see his feet
and to bring God into memory. And to the extent of payment that was made, you have capacity to demand that that which you have paid for must prosper in your hand. We are going to pray a prayer that is exceedingly valid this morning.
Every purpose of God that was established to prosper in your life that has been delayed by some factor,
it has been paid for. In fact, the custodian of divine justice himself was satisfied.
He knows that in all the eternity, no spirit can arise thereafter
and make a claim that will be valid. After such a payment was made. So his purpose shall prosper in his hand. I want us to pray. If you can help it, don't move again. Hallelujah. You can help it. We need to pray on that situation. And say, Lord, look upon your seat. Because, see, what did God see when he looked upon that seat? Because at that point in time, the visage of Jesus was, that thing, part of the Christ did. At least you could still know that there was an eye here. Before. Because what this prophet is saying is that he says his configuration. When we look, when we can look upon him, there is no beauty. His configuration was utter. You can't tell where the eye used to be. Because it was so damaged. The pocket of his skull. It was so terribly damaged that you could not tell where the eye was. You will mistake it to be where the ear is. And that's why the Bible says that when we can see him, there is no beauty that is worth. Now, you know those kind of irritating things you see in an accident scenario, and you. But do you know what the people were actually jittery about? At that point in time, that was how ugly sin actually is. And if they looked upon him that time and turned their face, it means no man can behold his sin. He was a full portrait of sin. And he was not a sight to people. There were arguments going on in the spirit and claims from all dimensions. And the Father saw that it was not sufficient. His suffering was not sufficient to meet the claim. And he himself had to add the remaining to preach it. Until he looked upon him, because it was only him that would eventually. He became satisfied. Why? Because of you. And you. Thereafter, the work of the Lord shall prosper in you. My friend, if it doesn't prosper in your life, there's nothing else God can do about it. It's you that made it so. You allowed it to be so. If you violently arise, that yoke will be broken off your life because it has no valid premise to make a claim. Because the work of God shall prosper. Let us pray. I want you to pick on something that is not entirely the idea of God. That you have been carrying around a limitation in your life. He said, when he shall behold his seed, he shall be satisfied. And the work of God shall prosper in his hand. You don't need to be anything that has been born. No matter how you like something in the market, you don't pay for it twice. And the work of God shall prosper in his hand. I want you to break out of limits this now. Break out of limitations. Break out of any hole, anything that weighs you down. You don't need to pay again. He shall see his seed. He
and it shall be satisfied, and the work of God shall prosper in his hand.